We are learning Masechet Bavli Metzia, and we're in the first parak. Shnayim Ochazim B'Talit, and we're holding on Daf Yud Gimel, and we are in the middle of an amazing sugya, which is the sugya of finding a bond. What is the halacha of finding a bond? So we mentioned briefly the issues of finding a bond in terms of Shnayim Ochazim, who is the bizoche in the bond. But here we're talking about the problem of lender or borrower. What do we do in this case? The Mishnah made a very strange distinction, and it said that it depends if it has achrayut nechasim. So according to Rabbi Meir, if it's got achrayut nechasim, then you can't give it back because you're going to be gorim hefset to the buyers, since you can use the shtar to be tariff the lekuchas. But if it doesn't have achrayut nechasim, who cares? Give it back to the lender. The Chachamim say it doesn't make any difference because it can always be tariff lekuchot, since achrayut is a ta'ut sofer. This shtar is always going to be used for tiruf lekuchot. And of course, the question that we had right off the bat is, why are we only interested in the lekuchot? Why aren't we interested in if we're giving a shtar back to a lender if the borrower claims that it's not a good shtar? So, Memonoshav, if there is a valid claim against the shtar, it should be both a claim against the shtar for collecting from the punitive borrower and from the lekuchot of that borrower. And if there's no problem with the shtar, so then who cares if we are gover from lekuchot? We're supposed to be gover from lekuchot. And this was the riddle of the Chachomim's approach in the Mishnah. So the first way that we got around this was by saying that there is a reyesa in the shtar because of the very fact that it fell. And once it fell, it opens up our sniffer about why did this happen? Why is this not where it belongs? And what we're really talking about, that it has to be that the chayav is modeh, so that there's no problem collecting from him, and that the only problem that we have over here is that perhaps the shtar was actually signed earlier than the loan took place, and it was a shtar mugdan. So if it has achrayut nechasim, that's important because it can be used to collect from buyers who legally own their property because they bought it before the loan ever took place. So now that got us into a problem, and this problem is going to figure very heavily today. And that is that it says in the Mishnah that you're allowed to write a shtar without the presence of the malva. So if you're allowed to write such a shtar, so then why aren't we always chayish that you wrote the shtar too early? So that means every single shtar should give us this problem, right? So we had two approaches to that. Rav Asi says, that Mishnah only meant that we could write shtarei hakna'a. Shtarei hakna'a are shtarot of credit line, in which you open up a lien against your property right off the bat, because you want the bank to be able to lend you whenever you need money. Automatically it should go into your account. Over here, this guy wants a credit line with a particular bank or a particular lender, so he creates a credit line by signing a shtar hakna'a. Therefore, in a normal case, we would never sign and allow such a shtar to be signed and written unless a lender was present and the actual loan was taken place. The only time that the Mishnah says you don't need a lender present is where the shtar reads as the opening of a credit line, which is a shtar hakna. Brilliant move, Rich. Brilliant move. Now, I don't know if you're sleeping. Well, you have your glasses now automatically fogging over when they come into the Daf Yomi. Did they?
Yeah.
Well, maybe there never was any sunshine before then. Now it's the sunshine you carry with you that's making the lenses.
The eyelids droop, it'll already be readjusted to the front.
Okay, we'll see. All right. Okay, so then it boils down to the following issue. If what you found was a shtar hakna'a, there's no problem at all. If the guy is made that, it's a good shtar, so then you could give it back to him. What we're talking about is where it's not a shtar hakna'a. Normally, if a shtar is presented in court, we would never think for a moment that we should be chayish that some idiot signed on a shtar without knowing that the malva was making a loan. However, in this case, where the shtar was found on the ground, something is clearly funny about it. So either, as Tosfos learns, either the loan never took place, and he wants the loan to take place now. So he had this written, he's been keeping it around for the past 6 months, and it dropped. So now he wants to save himself the considerable expense of rewriting the shtar and getting the witnesses. The lender is ready to lend him money now. And he says, therefore, to the finder, it's okay, you can give it back to him. Because he wants the guy to have the shtar. But it's illegal. Because this shtar, and that's the reason he dropped it anyway in the first place, it was written on an unextant loan. And therefore, it's an illegal lien against the property if there was a buyer. Okay, so because of that, we would be chayshish in this particular case. Or according to Rashi, it's the very fact that we open up our sniffing mechanism, that we're chayish, something's fishy. And when something's fishy, we're saying, I don't know, it just wasn't kosher, because he would have been nizar. Tosfos doesn't like that, because, I mean, Lamais, if he made the loan, what's the difference? What does he care? He wants to use this for collecting. I mean, so who cares if it's suspicious? Okay, but that's a side point. So here we have, again, a simple explanation of the Mishnah that allows you to write a shtar without the malva present. According to Rav Asi, it's referring only to shtarei hakna'ah, where you could never use it for an illegally early, predated collection of a lien, because the lien actually does exist in order to create the credit line. The case in the Mishnah is a case in which we're chayish because of a reyesa of having fallen, that maybe really it's a shtar mugdam, and that is the explanation of the Mishnah. Okay, so that brought us up to the words, kiven denafal itrele v'chashina, til ma'akri v'chatu. Those were the last words that we said, which is one third of the way down on the daf, and we're up to the last word, abaye amar. So, Abaye does not like this teretz of Rav Asi. The reason Abaye doesn't like this teretz is obvious. If, generally speaking, we're not ready to be cheshish, that there's something wrong with a shtar, why would we, just because it fell, decide that today we will be cheshish? If there's no way that a shtar would be written in this fashion, and the Mishnah is limiting itself to a case where it's not a shtar haknah, so, I mean, it doesn't really add up. Therefore, says Abaye, look, the Mishnah that says that you can write a shtar even though the lender is not present is not referring only to shtarot of credit line. It's referring to any shtar. So you'll say, why are we not afraid that somebody, I mean, it's very, very normal for a guy to walk in, order a shtar, which then will be only used later on in the week. So for those 3 days, he's going to be terrible kuches. 20 years from now, nobody remembers what's going on. He'll say, look at the date on the shtar. I want that field. You bought it the next day. Now, in reality, the next day also there was no lien, because the loan only took place 3 days later. So how does Abaye explain the fact that we can always write a shtar anyway? Very simple. Says Abaye, my dear friend, any signed shtar, as far as the creation of a lien is concerned, a daf b'chatumav zochim lo. Afilu shtar de lav hakna'a. Any shtar creates a lien by definition. That's the point of a shtar. So therefore, there's no such thing as saying it's an illegal tiruf. There was a registered lien, the shtar existed. A lekuach who cares about himself goes out to find out whether the shtar exists. Therefore, there's no real problem. In actuality, we'll see later on, the svara for this is that it simply makes commerce much easier. Because this way, I mean, if we really can only sign when actually witness the event, that we can never have a guy making, I mean, imagine even today, if the whole thing has to take place in front of the lawyer's office, I mean, God help us, still those kind of things happen, you know, signing the contract for a house and all of that stuff, it's an incredible hassle. So it puts a real damper on transactions. Okay, so Manela, this is the deal. You have a shtar, the lien is created. That's all there is to it. Afilu shtarei de lav hakna'a. Now, how then, you will ask, if that's true, how could there ever be a problem of a predated shtar, according to Abaye? We know that predated shtarot are pasul. What do you mean? They're not pasul by definition. According to Abaye, a predated shtar is a shtar whose date precedes the signature of the witness. We're over there. Indeed, there was no lien, because it's only the signature that creates the lien. That's what creates the kol, and not what creates the protection of the consumer who buys the field. So if you go in and order a shtar, the guy doesn't leave open the date for the aidan to fill in when they sign, and instead it comes predated, and now it's signed 2 days later. Now you have a real problem. Whereas according to Rav Asi, a predated shtar is even where it was signed before the loan took place. We have two very, very different definitions of a shtar mukdam, Libet Rav Asi and a Libet Abaye. Now, the reason that Abaye is forced into this is Bishum de Kashale. He's bothered by the last question we had on Rav Asi. Once you say, even the Amrit, once you say that the only way is Bishtarei de Lav Hakna'a, the only way you can sign a shtar without a malva is if it's a shtar Hakna'a. But if it's a shtar without a credit line opening, then Kilete la Malva Bade, Lo Katvina. You're not allowed to write a shtar like that anyway. So therefore, says Abaye, so then what are you worried about? So you found the shtar on the ground. So who the heck cares? I mean, the bottom line is that if the shtar exists, then either it's a shtar akno, which opened the credit line with a lien, so what's the problem? Or it's a shtar where a loan actually took place, because it couldn't have been written any other way. And to say what you said, that since you found it on the ground, maybe, you never know, this might have happened. Ah, come off it. I mean, leke lemefesh, the akri v'katuv. Why would we just guess that maybe something terrible happened? If it's not in the norm, then we're not chayish for it. Now, let me ask you something. And how about the Mishnah? How does Rabbi explain the most clear-cut statement of the Mishnah? If you find a get, or you find a get for shichrur, or you find a daitike, remember a daitike means da tehei kayin kayim. This refers to the matana of a shchiv merah. So it's a will that's already been probated legally. And you have find a matana, or you find a receipt of payment, and so on. You cannot return it, not to either party, whatever the case may be. You cannot return it because you never know if they were even used. Maybe they were written and not actually utilized. So somebody had brought out a receipt. He had been promised that he was going to have a meeting at 2:00. The guy was going to bring him the money, so he writes out a receipt to make sure that the guy has the receipt ready. He doesn't want to say, where's the receipt? I'm not giving you the money until there's a receipt. In the end, the guy sends him an SMS, I'm not showing up. Meanwhile, the shtar is there. So now what are you going to do? Going to give the receipt to the borrower? He never got the receipt. And then the same is true in all of these cases. The guy wants to be Meshachar Zev, but decided against it. Wanted to be Megarish's wife, decided against it. I don't understand why you think you can give it back.
But wait a second, it wouldn't be effective unless it was signed by the Edim.
But according to Abaye, that's exactly the Gemara's kasha. So according to Abaye, v'chinim l'chaleim ma'ave, are they signed or not? If they're signed, exactly. V'amet edev b'chatum avzachin lo. You said, Abaye, that the way a shtar works is by creating the financial realities when it's signed, not when it's delivered. So what's the problem? I don't understand. If edev b'chatum avzachin lo, so then give it to the guy. Well, no, wait. When I say Eidav b'chatumav zachinlo, I mean that there's zachinlo if it was delivered. If the shtar was never delivered, it's not zachinlo. I mean, so ahani milayech nekamato liyodei. If the shtar is written with Eidav, now it's handed over to the lender. The lender hasn't yet made the loan. But the borrower says, okay, all the papers are in order, I'll come tomorrow and we'll take the money, which is very often what happens. You bring everything into the bank, you're going to have the entire tick filled out, and then you go pick up your check the next day for your mortgage. No. And what happens then? Says, but that's not a problem. Because even though you can go ahead and collect from the day before, that's exactly what the signature meant when you handed it to the bank. And the bank indeed is going to be able to take a field that you had sold that day. Because you already gave them the contract. And there's nothing wrong with that. But suppose you never brought it into the bank, Bichlal. Obviously, then it doesn't do anything. So in that case, which is perhaps the case in that Mishnah that's coming up now, you find something lying on the ground. How do you know it was ever delivered? You're telling me the receipt. The receipt was never given to him. That, obviously, I'm not saying it belongs to him, even though it was ever given to him. That's ridiculous, says Abaye. So then, now I'm really confused. So then we're back to the same problem. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, you said, if it allows you to collect against the buyer, then you can't give it back. And you said, but what about the borrower? You're going to be taking from him. See, well, the borrower admits that he owes the money. So then what the heck is the problem? If Lamaisa, you're saying the shtar is a good shtar, it already came into the hands of the malva. Up until now, we've been saying that the problem is that maybe it was predated. According to Abaye, that's impossible because the shtar b'chatumav zachimlo. So who cares whether you're going to be turned from the lokuchos? U'mishum shema katav lo b'nisan v'lo lova at tishrei. You said that was the problem. Maybe the date was 6 months before the loan. But that only works out according to Rav Asi. Rav Asi, who said, let's limit the Mishnah, the right to sign on a document when you don't see the event. That's only allowable if it's shtari aknayata, if it's credit line shtarot. And in this case, the Mishnah is talking about mukile bishtare delava aknayata. You found over here a shtar that was not the opening of a credit line, and therefore you have a serious problem. Look at this. How do I know that the loan actually took place, like we said, okay? But according to Abaye, the case cannot happen because there's no difference between shtari akhnayata and a regular shtar, according to Abaye. And you're always allowed to write out a shtar like that because it doesn't cause any damage. You have a right to be terev lekuchas. So for God's sake, if you have a right to be terev lekuchas, and you have a right to collect from the borrower, because the borrower is admitting that it's indeed a loan. So what's the problem? Michael Amemar. Have you forgotten conspiracy theory? The issue over here is conspiracy, not borrower and lender. Borrow and lender together against buyer. This is a shtar that was paid years ago. Okay. Now they come up with this brilliant plan. I don't have any property, says borrower to lender. And I sold a field. It's a really good field. Now, how about if we split the field? What's your plan? Well, we have a shtar that doesn't, that has in it achrayut nechasim. And I don't have any other any other money, okay? So what I say is like this. I dropped the shtar, which I have because it was returned to me after I paid for it. You claim it was from you and that I never paid. I'll admit that it's a perfectly valid shtar. So now you'll come to collect. Then you get the field from the buyer. Wonderful. Now we split the field. Great idea. So that we're afraid of. That's conspiracy. So that problem is the only reason why, if there's achrayut nechasim, we have a problem. Because if there's achrayut nechasim, we're going to use it against a buyer. So therefore, says Abaye, the reason is because chayshinan lepiraon ulekinunya, we are afraid that these things were paid, and therefore they're not valid shtarot, and now the borrower and the lender are in a conspiracy against the lakua. So now we have a lot of new issues that have been introduced over the course of the past, from this Mishnah, in the past 2 days. A lot of factors have been taken into consideration over here, and they include the concept of an opening of a credit line, shtarei aknayata, the question of whether chatuma v'zochim lo, which is the sheet of Abaye, the issue of whether there could be a reisa in a shtar because of the fact that it fell, the difference between an understanding of a shtar mugdam, a predated shtar, between Ravasi and Abaye, the question of whether we are chayesh for a kenunya or not, the issue of whether a shtar that does not include achrayut nechasim can nonetheless be used against a buyer, which is called Achrayut Nechasim, is Ta'ut Sofer, which is the sheet of the Chachamim that argue in the Mishnah against Rabbi Meir. Or Rabbi Meir holds that if there's no Achrayut Nechasim, then indeed it cannot be used against the Lakuach, which means Aliba de Abaye, there's no room for a conspiracy in that case. These are some of the questions that we're talking about, and they end up revolving around the understanding of another Mishnah, which is where do you have a right to sign on a document where you have not actually witnessed the event? The malv is not present. Okay, so that depends. At what point you're actually interested in creating this lien, where you have a right to create a lien. According to Rabbi, I have a right to create a lien because the guy said write a shtar. There you go. According to Ravasi, you only have a right to sign on a shtar where everybody is openly creating a credit line lien. Over there, it's understandable that it's not dependent on the loan because the whole point of it is to open a credit line that may or may not be used. Okay? Nice, fascinating issues that are entirely contemporary. How about, says the Gemara, according to Shmuel, we're going to see later on that Shmuel makes it very clear that lo chayshina lepiraon lekenunya. If a shtar is found, he says that you return it even if the guy is shouting that he paid it. And that is someone who pays a shtar, the instant it's given to him, rips it in order to make sure that it's void, which is exactly what we do today. We have a stamper and we stamp void on it. So what they used to do is they would make a tear in it, and that indicated that it had been paid. Why would anybody be dumb enough to carry around a signed check in his pocket? Unless he's going to write Lamutav Bilvad. You don't carry around things which if somebody else finds, you're dead. So therefore, who's stupid enough to take a shtar that was Paruha and not indicate on it that it was Paruha? Therefore, Shmuel says later on, I'm not Chayesh for Piraon at all. That's not an issue. And you can return it. Return it. And what about Kenunya? I don't care about Kenunya. I don't believe that people can get together. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Okay. All right. So that means that according to Shmuel, if you don't hold that there's a chashash over here of the Piraon, and you're not chayish for Kenunya, what then could he say? I mean, obviously he could say what Ravasi said. He could say that there's a problem of a shtar mugdam. I mean, Bishlam, okay, hey, Nichi, Sobelak Ravasi, if you're telling me that indeed Ravasi is right, and that the only only way you have a right to sign on a document where you don't see the event and there's no malva present is if it's a shtar hakna'a, but not on a normal shtar hakna'a. So fine, he'll learn that the Mishnah is talking about a shtar that is not hakna'a. So then he has the same approach that Ravasi has. But if he holds like Abaye, and he agrees that Eidav b'chatumav zachim lo, and there's no chashash, therefore, of a shtar which is mugdam. So I don't get it. So then what is the problem? Ma'ik elamema. What's the problem? Collecting from the borrower. The borrower says you have a right to collect. Collecting from the lakuach. Well, what's the problem? We're saying over here that if Lamaisa, there is a shtar that signed, the lien indeed was created. So how does he understand the Mishnah that says you cannot give it back in the event that it has achrayut dechasim? Ah, that's not a problem. Shmuel indeed will have to, if he holds of a Abaye, will have to learn a completely different approach to the Mishnah. Now we have to retrain our mind, okay? Because we've been used to saying that it's sort of a mamonoshach. I mean, if you're going to be able to use it, why can't you use it against the lekuach? Ah, must be kenunya. But if you don't know the kenunya, then there's no way out of that unless you're chayesh for mugdam. But he's not chayesh for mugdam if he holds of a Abaye. Therefore, we have a completely different approach to the Mishnah. Aliba de Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about that the borrower is not modeh. Now, he's not saying it's parua, as we'll see later on. He can't be saying it's parua because he would have torn it. So when it says he's not modeh that it ever happened, he holds that he's claiming that the shtar is mizuyaf. It's a lie. And since in this case, it would not normally he can't tie a mizuyaf, we could simply go and we could be Makayim the shtar b'chatumav, right? But in this case, the reyesa in the shtar tells us something smells rotten in Denmark. Why was this shtar found on the ground? Now, obviously, it is possible to write a shtar mizuyaf that is good enough to pass a graphological examination, which is essentially what kiyum is. Normally, we're not chayesh for that. But if you've got indications that something is awfully fishy, then we are chayesh for that. So in this case, Shmuel will say, if the guy is not meida, then don't return it to him. What? But that doesn't, that's crazy. So then who cares if it has achrayut dechasim or not? If you're telling me the guy isn't meida, so then we can't give it back to him because it's going to collect from him. Forget about whether we're collecting from the lekuchos. You're driving me crazy over here. The whole problem was, in the Mishnah, remember, was the difference between achrayut dechasim or not achrayut dechasim, which is a focus on the buyer, not on the borrower, correct? Then you turn around and said, yeah, but the borrower in this case also says that it's not a good shtar. No. So achrayut nechasim has no meaning if we're talking about the borrower, because I could collect from the borrower without achrayut nechasim. But if he didn't sell a field, why isn't we focused on the lekuchot? That's because Shmuel has a completely different approach to that halacha. You see, Iyachi, we're asking, ki ein bem achrayut nechasim amayach zira. So he can't collect for the kohot. But he's still going to go ahead and he's going to collect for B'nai Chori. So Nehidalo Gavi min Meshav, they certainly be B'nai Chori, Mikve Gavi. And the guy is screaming, you had no right to give me back that shtar. I don't know him a dime. It was made out of whole cloth. He just forged those signatures. So how do we give it back to him? That's because Shmuel's Shita is incredibly that according to Rabbi Meir, a shtar without achrayut nechasim is unusable. It's not just that you can't collect it from the lekuchos. Shmuel holds that I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, a shtar without achrayut nechasim, since it cannot be used to create a lien, it becomes a milva al peh, and that the witnesses are not testifying to anything. The only thing that they were doing in the first place was creating a lien. If they don't create a lien, then they're irrelevant. That's the whole point. They could sign even though they didn't witness the event. So the point of the witnesses is only the creation of a lien to protect the consumer. So if you have a shtar, in which that's not an issue, you don't have a shtar. You have a piece of toilet paper. So now what are you going to do with it? The guy has claimed it's a mizuyaf. Okay, I wasn't going to use it anyway. I'm going to be laughed out of court if I try to use it. So what do you care if he returns it? Says the Gemara, but so then why bother returning it? I said it's good toilet paper. That's the only reason you can return it. The guy wants toilet paper. Ain't a chiyami. So this, let's see that inside. Since the Omer Shmuel, Omer Hayar Rabbi Meir, Shtar Chov She'in Bo Achrayut Nechasim, Eino Gova Lo Mimeshavdei Ve Lo Mimnei Chori. So therefore, you thought that, see, take a look what prejudice does to you. You're so used to thinking that Achrayut Nechasim could only be a problem in Lakuach that you got all involved in conspiracy theories when the answer was look right there in front of your face. The answer was that if there's no Achrayut Nechasim, it's not a kosher shtar to be used for anything, even for being gova, from the borrower. And therefore, the issue over here involves achrayut nechasim not vis-a-vis the lekuchot, but vis-a-vis the borrower. So if there's no achrayut nechasim, says Rabbi Meir, you can return it to the lender. Good, good. That's great. Those reflexes are functioning. It's almost as good as electric shock, which is essentially what it is. Excellent question. Ask the Gemara, if the shtar has no value, what are we arguing about? Says Rabbi Natan bar Oshaya, we don't want to talk about toilet paper, so we instead use it as perfume cover, you know, sort of the other end of the spectrum. But so it's latsur al pitz luchito shalamalve. It's in order that he's got a bottle stopper. So now he's got a good bottle stopper. That's all that they're arguing about, because you certainly can't use it in court. So I understand. So why are we only giving it to the malva? I mean, why can't we give it to the lova for his bottle stopper? I mean, once we're saying it has nothing to do with the debt, anybody can use a bottle stopper. What are you talking about? The lova is claiming that the thing is a mizuyah. We're going to give it to him? He's saying it was Lohayat Bar Mi'aylam. He's saying this, I don't know where this guy got this from. So it certainly ain't your piece of paper. Whoever should give it to you. He's the Omer Lohayat Bar Mi'aylam. So obviously we're not going to give it back to him. So now we have three completely different approaches to the Mishnah. The third approach is in extreme different from the other approaches. Because at least Rav Asi and Abaye were both saying that, well, of course it's got to be talking about that the blender himself admits that it was a kosher shtar. So now the difference between them is whether the problem in the Mishnah of return is because of predated shtarot, as Rav Asi says. And this situation of finding in the street makes us be cheshish for predating. Or whether it's a biased conspiracy theory. Maybe it was paid and they got together to collect the field from the lakua. Fine. But the third approach, which is Shmuel's, is a completely different explanation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about dafka where the borrower claims that there never was a loan. And the nafkamina between Yeshba Achrayut Nechasim is not about buyers. It's about borrowers. Because Shmuel understands Rabbi Meir Shita to be any shtar without Achrayut Nechasim, because it's not a ta'ut sofer, is actually not a shtar at all. And since it's not a shtar, all it's useful for is bottle stoppers. And therefore, the discussion is only in terms of bottle stopping. And we don't need the guy to say, yes, it was a kosher shtar. I could care less. All it's worth right now is a piece of paper. Now, this means that we have two basic approaches in the Mishnah. The basic approaches are, as the original approach that we had, which is that the Mishnah is talking about dafka, where the chayav is made, which explains why we are allowed to give it back in the case where it does not have a chayav nechasim alim Rabbi Meir. And it also explains why, if both of them would be meida, we would not be able to give it back. Now, we would not be able to give it back because if they're both meida, then we'd have to have a problem of either the question of chayshin and lepiraon end to a kenunya, or it would be because of the earlier approach that we're afraid that perhaps it had a problem in the dating and that therefore we would be geva shalokadin melakuchas. So either shalokadin because of a problem with the shtar's ability to be geva, or shalokadin because of conspiracy. But that's a minor issue. But generally speaking, the approach would be an approach in which the whole Mishnah is kishechayev modeh. Where ain chayav modeh, then for sure we would not be able to collect. That would be because we are chayish for piraon. The other approach is the opposite approach, that the machlokes is dafka where ain chayav modeh, and there what they're arguing in, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, is whether a shtar has value to collect with at all. So, I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, the shtar has no value at all. But in a case where the chayav would be modeh, then for sure we would be able to be ma'aser. So two completely different approaches. Shmuel's approach up until this point has been that we're talking about dafka, where ein chayav modeh, and the reason you give it back is because the shtar is meaningless, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, and if he would be modeh, then for sure we would give it back and there would be no problem, there would be no problem with kununya, and so on and so forth. Okay, now we are up to the point where the Gemara now brings a machlokas about these two major issues. So, Omer Rabbi Elazar, so we have one approach, it's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. We have one approach, Rabbi Elazar's approach, which is similar to what Shmuel said. The machlokas in the Mishnah is dafka kishe ein chayav modeh. Over there, Rabbi Meir says, well, there's no problem in giving it back, because since Ein Bach Reit B'Chasin, it's a usual star anyway. So Ein Agov Alomi Meshavde, Alomi Meichori, the only question is, its usefulness is a bottle stopper. Fine, so give it back to use as a bottle stopper. Whereas Rabban and Savri Mikveh Govi, that's not true. You could certainly collect, and therefore we cannot give it back if he's not being made. And in this case, he, since we have the Isra, so we have whatever problem we have. Maybe it was indeed Perua. As he's, maybe it wasn't the Mizuyaf, as he's claiming. But if it would be Chayav Modeh, then the Mishnah's not even discussing that case. What's the problem? If the Chayav is Modeh, then give it back, even if we're going to collect from Lekuchos, Velo Chashin, Lepiraon, Velekanunya. So this was before approach number two, the approach of Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, takes approach number one, the Machlokes is Kishchayav Modeh, but if, indeed, Ein Chayav Modeh, then for sure we're not going to be able to give it back. Because then we would be perhaps collecting Shaloka Din from him, whether he's tining Perua, whatever he's tining, we can't collect it from him. So the Machlokes is Davka Kishchayav Modeh. Rabbi Meir holds, if the star has no achrayut nechasim, then there's not a problem, because since he's moda anyway, we wouldn't be able to collect from the chasim meshubadim, and there's no problem for the lekuchos. And, of course, the borrower admits that he has the money, so we will indeed be gover from him, and we're gover from the nechori. So Nechorim Mikva Gavi. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, how can you collect it? Even though it doesn't have Achrit Nechasim, anyway, it's going to collect from Achrit Nechasim. Because it's a Ta'ut Sofer, and then Mibishabdi Nami Gavi. Okay, but if the Chayav was not Modeh, then of course we can write what we have, I mean, for sure. Lo Yachzir, we're afraid that maybe he's right, and if he's standing Parati, so then you can't give it back, because we are Chayesh Lepiraon. Again, the issues behind the scenes, whether for sure a guy would have ripped up a shtar, there's no Chayesh Lepiraon, the questions of whether you're allowed to write a shtar without the Malva present, and is that after b'shtar where it's Akno, or is it an ishtar there of b'chatumah, all of these are sub-machlokesin that revolve around this major issue. What was the Mishnah talking about? Was the Mishnah talking about a case kisha ain't chayav modeh? But if the chayav modeh, there's nothing to discuss bichlal, or on the contrary, the Mishnah is talking about only kisha chayav modeh. But if ain't chayav modeh, so then for sure lo yachzir. So in other words, it's either kisha chayav modeh, there's nothing to talk about, for sure we will be machzir, which is the opposite of conspiracy theory, or it's kisha ain't chayav modeh lo yachzir, because of the fact that we don't have a right to collect from him, and because there's a chashash against the borrower himself, the putative borrower himself. This was the essential sugya that we spent the entire time discussing. Says the Gemara, Lamaisa, we finally find the datum, the data that we need, and it's clear from those data that Rabbi Yochanan is right, and that Rabbi Elazar is wrong. Tanik avas to Rabbi Yochanan, and to Yufta to Rabbi Elazar in this one issue, Bechada. We'll see that when it comes to Shmuel, we've got two things that we're going to attack Shmuel on, Betarte. And here is the braita that shows that Rabbi Elazar is wrong in one thing. Now, the truth is, we're going to see that one thing means only his one approach to the Mishnah, but obviously it leads to a number of things that he's wrong about, but they all come from one thing. Okay, but first we think that it means the direct things that he's wrong about, so let's see that. It says in the Braita Matzar Shtarechov, if the Zachariut Nechasim, even if Shnei Amodim lo yachzir lo lezeh velo lezeh. Okay, right off the bat, we see that there is a problem, of course, this is Rabbi Meir Shita, as we'll see in a moment, there's a problem of conspiracy theory. So Rabbi Elazar is wrong about that, because Rabbi Elazar said, well, I think he's there, but there's no problem. There's no problem of conspiracy theory. He's wrong. Okay. And if in bem akrayut nechasim, only if the lova is moda, we can give it back. Whoops. So then he's wrong about that. That's not what the Mishnah was talking about. He was saying it was talking about where he's not moda. No, actually, Rabbi Meir says only if the lova is moda, you can give it back to the Malva. And now it gets worse because Rabbi Meir spells it out. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, Shtar Shiyesh Be'achrayut Nechasim, Goveh Minechasim Meshubadim. But if Ein Be'achrayut Nechasim, okay, what did Rabbi Elazar say? He was going like Shmuel, that it's useless, right? What does it say here? Goveh Minechasim Be'nechorim. Ah, boy, oh boy, he's kaput. So now, basically, in all three issues, he's kaput. Clearly, Rabbi Meir was learning the Mishnah that it's talking about that the Lova is Modeh, so the Chayav is Modeh. He's clearly stating over here that a shtar without Achrayut Nechasim is still a usable shtar, even though it's only for Nechasim B'nei Chorin. And he is clearly stating that we do have a problem with conspiracies, and that, in fact, If the issue over here is that they were both moda and it has in it acharet nechasim, we're not going to be able to give it back because of the fact that even though they're moda, we're worried about the lakuach. So he's wrong on every count. So now this is a little strange, because what we say is to you if the Rebbe Elazar b'choda, I mean, actually, he's wrong in every single element of the statement that he made. And here's why we say it's b'choda. Because he said the Amar Rebbe Meir, shtar she'in bo achrayut nechasim, is useless. And eino goveh min nechasim meshubadim, v'lo min nechasim min echorim. He said it's a useless shtar you can't collect even from freed up properties. And furthermore, he said, the Ka'ama, that bein l'Rebbe Meir and bein l'Rabbanan lo chashin l'kanunya, we're not worried about conspiracy. Whereas in fact, in the Braita, it says precisely the opposite. The Braita, it says, shtar she'in bo achrayut nechasim, can only not be used for meshubadim, but certainly could be used to collect from Bnei Chori. Furthermore, the Braita says, "V'katani bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbanan, chayshina l'kinunya." Because it says, "Afa pishin shnei amodim." In a case if it has acharit nechasim, even if both agree, lo yachzir lo lezeh velo lezeh. Now, how in the world lo yachzir lo lezeh velo lezeh? There's only one possible explanation. If the guy is admitting that he owes money, then it's got to be the reason we're not going to return it is because we are chashin of the kenunya. Okay? Well, it's okay, except the last time I learned to count, those are two issues, and two is not one. You said there was a problem with one issue. Vahani tartehu. These are two issues. No. Look, buddy, if they're two issues, then they're three issues. I mean, the point that I'm saying is it's all one issue. Chodahu. In other words, what led to this demand for Rebbe Elazar to see the shitas, these two shitas, that were not chayish for conspiracies, and that a shtar shein b'achrayut nechasim is a useless shtar? There was one point that led to both of those things. It's mishum deka'amar Rebbe Elazar. Machloket b'she'in chayav moda. It's since Rebbe Elazar says that the whole machloket was where the chayav is not modeh, that's what forced him to be metaritzachi. Because then he has to explain how could we give back a shtar if the chayav is not modeh, by saying, well, anyway, the shtar is only worth its value as a bottle stopper. And then he'll have to say, and why does it say, dafke the machlokes is b'she'in chayav modeh? Because kishe chayav modeh, in fact, we would give it back. And what about conspiracy? We're not worried about conspiracy. So that one statement about how to understand the Mishnah leads inexorably to two issues, both of which turn out to be wrong, and show us that the one big mistake was in how you learn the Mishnah. The opposite approach to the Mishnah is the approach of Rabbi Yochanan, which indeed Rabbi Meir backs here. Namely, that if indeed we would have a case that the chayav is not bimoda, you can't give it back for sure. So we're talking about dafka where the chayav is mode, but we will never be able to give it back where you're going to be able to collect against lekuchot. And that's because we indeed are chayish for, even though they're both being mode, we are chayish for a conspiracy theory that would allow us to go ahead, take away from lekuchot, even though they're both admitting that this is what happened, we will not take something out of the hands of the lekuach, because of the question of chashin and the kenunya. Of course, there was always the other option to say it's not chashin and the kenunya, but it's going to be chayish because of the wrong date on the contract. But that, anyway, would be the same problem. I'll leave it to Rebbe Elazar. I mean, as Tosis points out, you're right. But basically, Rebbe Elazar is wrong across the board, either because he's not chayish for kenunya, or because he's not chayish for Shema Katav Lilvot, Benisan, V'lava B'tishrei. Okay, but this is the most convenient way of learning, because it allows us to have the broadest possible explanation of the other Mishnah, which is what type of contract is mutter to be written, Shelo Bifnei Lov. And that would be Alibi De'Abaya, which leads again inexorably to conspiracy theory. Okay, so it means we have another number of sub-machlokas in, but there were two basic approaches to the Mishnah, either kishchayav modeh or kishain chayav modeh. That turned out to be fundamentally a machlokas between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yochanan. We now have sufficient data to prove that there is no possible way of approaching the Mishnah the way Shmuel and Rebbe Elazar were approaching it, namely that the machlokas of the Mishnah is b'she'in chayav modeh, but if chayav modeh we would give it back. Exactly the opposite is true. The machlokas of the Mishnah is dafka b'she'chayav modeh, and b'she'in chayav modeh we wouldn't give it back at all. Abaya Omar, Eidav b'chatumav zachim lo, v'afilu shtar eidalav haknot. Why does it say that? Because Mishum the Kashalik, even the Amartim Shtar the Lavak Na'a, Kileta Lamelve Vahade Lokat Vina, I don't believe. Lekalamekash, the Akri Vekotim. Why would I say that? So then, Elohadeta Motze Gitenosh Vishgri Avodim, Daitke Matona Shovrin, Hareza Loyach Zershemak Tuvima Yuvenim Lakalem Shalolit Nam, who cares? Freedim Lakalem I Havi. I thought you said Eidav Bechatum of Zokimo. No, that's Tafka Kimatel Yodeh. Velechad Lomatel Yodeh. We never say such a thing. And the Mishnah that says Motzeh Shtarichov Nishba Machrut Nachasim Lo Yachzir. And it's talking about the Chayav being Moida. And we have no Chashash, according to you, Surabaya, that Shema Katav Lavot Ben Yisom Lo Lavati Shrei. I mean, if you hold like Ravasi, fine. Where he says the only time you can sign is at Mishtari Akneyata. So he would say the Mishnah is talking about Shtar the Lav Akneyata, like we said. But according to Abaye, you're claiming Eidah Bechatum HaMzokim, those are Ma'ikah LaMeimah. There's nothing left to worry about. Says Abaye, what do you mean there's nothing left to worry about? There's conspiracies. Haina Taima Dechayish LaPiraon or LaKinunya, that's the problem. According to Shmuel, who clearly explains that Lo Chashin LaPiraon or LaKinunya, so Ma'ikah LaMeimah. So Amy, Chisav LaGravas, Sidom Rebishtari HaKana'ah. So he's now Mukimat Nitin that allows you to write, but Bishtaradak the Lavakna, our mission is talking about where it wasn't Shtarakna. We have the Khashash Mugdam. The problem is Ishavaka Abaye, who holds Eidav Bakatumab Zakinlo, and he furthermore holds the Lokachin la Kanunya. So he cannot take on Abaya's reasoning in the Mishnah, so then Maikalamema. Ah. Shmuel Mukina Masijikish in Khayav Modeh, you see. So then Iyaki, if there's no Akhret the Khasim, what right do you have to be a master? I mean, Nihidol Agavim in Mishavde, but certainly Nechori Magde Gavim, no? No. Shmuel Lataymi. Do you remember Shmuel? Omer Aya Rebbe Meir, that is Tarchov She'en Boi Achrayut Nechassim, indeed. Eno Govea Lo Mi Mishavde, Ve Lo Bim Nechori. So then what's the point of the argument? I mean, Ach She'en Govea, what is he giving you back for? Omer Nadan Bar Oshaya is a bottle stopper. Let's draw Pitzluchito Shalamal there. So, I mean, give it to the Lova as a bottle stopper. What are you talking about, man? The Lova, who the Omer, the Lohi, the Varmi Olam. How could we possibly give it to him? Omer Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so here's the main point. Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan in essentially how to learn the Mishnah. Machlokes in the Mishnah, says Rabbi Elazar, is B'she'in Chayav Moda. The Rabbi Meir Sav Ashtar She'in Bo Achroet Nechassim. And the Rabbanan Savri Migva Govi, and that it's all Ta'ut Sofer. Aval, Keshe Chayav Mode, they're already Divrei Hakol Yachzir. Why not? Because we're not Chayish Lepira on Vlekenunya. So the only way to understand the Mishnah, therefore, is that it's talking about Keshein Chayav Mode. Rabbi Yochanan, on the contrary, the only way to learn the machlokas is kishachayav modeh. So Rabbi Meir holds that the shtar she'in ba'achrayut nechassim mimeshat yud logavi avi b'nei chori mikvagavi, you see, which means that if he wouldn't be made, we couldn't give it back because then it would be collected against a guy who's claiming it's not a good shtar. V'rabon et savri mimeshat dinami gavi. Aval kishayin chayav modeh Divrei Hakol lo yachzir dechashin and lepiraon. Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yochanan, his approach in which we're chayish, it's got to be talking about that the chayav is modeh, and against Rabbi Elazar says the chayav ain't a modeh in this one issue, as we'll see. V'tiyuf derishmul betarte. Motzer shtarchov, here's the bright. Motzer shtarchov yesh b'achrayut nechassim. Af al pi sheshneim odim lo yachzir lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. My friends, the only explanation is conspiracy theory. Okay. There he goes on that place. And b'machrayut nechassim, then we need for the lova to be moda. Oh my God, there goes the other piece. So if the lova is moda, yachzir l'malva, et alav v'moda, lo yachzir lo lezel v'lo lezel, divrei Rabbi Meir, kuf, shrei Rabbi Meir omer, shtar sheyesh bo achrayut nechassim, goveh menechassim meshupatim. She'ein bo achrayut nechassim, goveh menechassim b'nei chorin. There you have it. V'chachamim omrim echad zeh, goveh menechassim meshupatim. Tiyufta the Rebbe Elazar b'chada. What's the chada? Well, I mean, he said that a limit of Rabbi Meir, a shtar she'ein bo achrayut nechassim cannot be used at all. Ein a goveh menechassim meshupatim, v'lo menechassim b'nei chorin. And he furthermore said, that bein le Rabbi Meir, bein le Rabbonan, that in the case if the chayav was moda, then you can give it back even if it had achriyut nechasim. Why? Because lo chashin in the kinunya. Whereas in the bride, it says very clearly against both of those things. It says shtar sheibo achriyut nechasim. It's only mimishabdi hudalogavi, but mibnei chorin migvagavi. That's number one. Furthermore, it says bein la Rabbi Meir bein la Rabbanan. We're chashin in the kinunya, and everybody is invited that you're not marzret if it has achriyut nechasim. Lo 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 Diktari Ava Pishrei Modim, Lo Yachzir Lo Lazeh Velo Lazeh, Alma Dewi, Aruch Hashem Lekedunya. There you go. Blessed, Rabbi Lazarat. But those are two things. You said there was only one thing. No, it's really one thing. Because it all boils down to one issue, you see. It's Chodohu, the Chatamu. It all comes from the fact. Now, Rabbi Elazar was learning that the Mishnah is talking about Kishein Chayav Modeh. That's what forced him to be Metare Tzachi. So out of that comes, yes, and if the Chayav was Modeh, so why wouldn't you, what would be the issue? Why wouldn't that be the Pshat of the Mishnah? Because there wouldn't be any Machlokas. Why wouldn't there be any Machlokas? Because of course we would give it back. Because we're not afraid of conspiracy theory, right? Nonsense. Okay. So it's all one thing.